From the Clark Ford Studio in Oxford, Mississippi, MBW Digital proudly presents the Oxford Exxon Podcast.
I'd say thanks for tuning in, but why am I going to give you a round of applause for something that you're supposed to do, to be frank?
And now, here are your hosts, Chase Palm.
And broadcast school has really paid off.
And Neil McCready.
I deserve to be on TV.
Welcome in. Thursday morning edition of the Oxford Exxon Podcast. Chase Palm. Neil McCready, Clark Ford Studio to day, I don't know, we're on, I'm not even watching anymore. What will happen will happen. That is where we are this morning.
Que sera, sera.
Yeah, that's
whatever will be,
true.
Will be.
Yeah, that's something Jason Cook used to see him say in press conferences all the time. We ask him, he'd just go, que sera, sera. I was like, you know what?
That's
amen.
More than fair.
Yeah, good dude, Jason Cook. I don't know where he is now, but he's a good dude.
Never would have thought we'd be doing that at 8:10.
It just hit me. You said that, and I went, you know what? He used to say that all the time. I kind of remember that. So
it's kind of a good life approach, you know? Do your best, and whatever happens, happens.
Yeah, so anyway.
Let the chips fall where they may, if you will.
Just when we thought we were done with coaching turnover, that is not the case. Coleman Hutzler headed to Alabama to be the special teams coordinator and coach outside linebackers. So, I don't know. I guess we'll talk about that. We'll talk about some portal today. Whatever you guys want to talk about. If you have topics in the stream, feel free to throw them at us. It is Thursday. So, anyway, that and more coming up on the show. Show brought to you every single day by the Oxford Exxon Highway 6 West in Oxford. Remember, we're trying to give you $10. All you have to do that is go to any Blue Sky location, take a picture of the QR code there at the pump. It'll open up the app. That gives you 1,000 bonus points. 1,000 points equals $10 with the Blue Sky and the Oxford Exxon. Also, lunch specials here locally, $5.69, two sides of bread, 32-ounce drinks, and more. And again, coming to you from the Clark Ford studio.
We are Clark Ford's in Amory, Mississippi, 662-257-1900 is that number. Call it. Ask for our friend Corey Clark. Tell Corey what Ford product you're looking for, and he will send you a quote within 15 minutes and business hours. It's really that simple. It's right to the bottom line. There's no hassle. There's no haggle. What would be another word with hassle, haggle, apple? There's not a lot of stuff. There's just get a quote. The rest is up to you. You can shop it around. You can do what I've done, what I recommend that you do. And that is hop into a Clark Ford today, 662-257-1900. Guest, join us on the Rafters Music and Food Hotline. Rafters Music and Food on the Square in Oxford. Great place to grab a burger, a po' boy, appetizer and a beer, have a drink. They can do all those things and more there at Rafters on the Square in Oxford and also in New Albany.
Are you a little delirious? Asshole, haggle,
I woke
apple.
Up in a, I'm in a good mood. I mean, I'm prepared for today one way or the other. Whatever happens, happens. I know that if they end up not going to Ole Miss, I'm going to get yelled at and beat up, and I'm prepared for that. And it's going to be cold today.
It is cold today.
It is cold.
It's actually cold like the next 5, 6, 7 days.
Oxford and Tupelo play tonight in a big soccer game. Oxford has to beat Tupelo by 2 goals to make the playoffs.
Oh, really?
A simple win won't work.
So does Tupelo pack it in and play back? And
I would think that would be their strategy.
There'd be strategy. Some strategy to not create fast breaks.
I would think that they would play a defensive game. Of course, sometimes at the
now, are they affected by it? Do they not get in, or are they
yes,
in
they
anyway?
Would be the team that did not get
okay.
in.
Okay, so it matters to them, too.
Yes.
It's not just who else joins them.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Intrigue.
There's absolutely intrigue. And it's senior day, senior night for the Oxford kids.
So it's here.
So it's here, yeah.
Okay.
But I'll be here with you.
Okay. I mean, you can go if you want. Feel free.
No.
I'm good.
If I thought Carson was going to play, I'd obviously be there. But you do not
anticipate that.
I would be surprised. I mean, I think you, on a night like this, you play the older kids.
Sure. Are we starting the show now? I don't know. Did you already read everything? You good?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Remember, we talked about hassles and haggles. And
yeah, you threw me off. Okay, sorry, guys. All right, yeah, look. Hutzler leaves for Alabama last night. He had coached linebackers at his previous stop. So even beyond the just going to Alabama part, I'm not shocked by it at all when you get to coach the position he'd been coaching. He was the special teams coordinator here. Some people have mentioned possibilities, and look, I wouldn't even know where to start. There has been some Christian Robinson buzz just on joining the staff in some capacity. That was not I first heard about it a few days ago, was even maybe any sort of possibility, but it was not for Hutzler's job. It was not for any specific job. It was just simply, is that somebody who would end up back with the Rebels? He was on Freeze's staff at one point for a little while. He's been at Mississippi State. I think he played at Georgia, right?
He did.
Am I correct at that?
That is correct.
So he's been around a little bit. That's one name that literally has just been rumored at some point to join the staff. I am not saying that's who's replacing Hutzler. I have no freaking idea. But otherwise, it's just another bit of turnover. Is that six position coaches now? Six?
Let's see. So Lebby and
Durkin. Smith.
Yeah, Kevin Smith.
Savage.
Is Savage replaced?
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Is it just five?
Hutzler.
Or am I forgetting one?
Feels like we're missing somebody.
Okay.
I don't know. We've had a lot of change. I mean, they have. That's not negative. Just they've had a lot of change. It will be a completely different looking staff. I mean, when your strength coach is different and both coordinators are different, although Chris Partridge remains, but that's different. That's a totally different feel.
He was sort of the person that organized everything against Louisville when Lane was out with COVID. That was the one place where probably fans would know Hutzler the most, as far as in a front of mind standpoint. Good recruiter, really good, just kind of program guy. I don't know, you know, it's Marquise Watson, if you want to count that. He's as close to an on-field coach as you could have been without being an on-field coach. He headed to Rutgers as offensive line coach. It's a lot of staff turnover. I don't think you can have this level of staff turnover year over year over year. You know, but on a one-year standpoint, it just simply depends who you decide or who you can replace them with. I mean, you know, you look at it here and you start doing the, okay, this guy's out, this guy's in, what does that look like? And you grade the staff as a whole, and then you give it a grade, and you try to do the best you can with it. The only thing that it's a criticism. I don't even really know if it is, but Neil and I were talking about this last night when I guess you got back to the computer, you saw the Hutzler stuff. And the only thing that kind of sticks out in my mind from a what does this mean standpoint beyond on a bigger picture scale is you wonder a little bit about the assistants, and I don't mean to be Pollyanna in this. I'm not saying that, oh God, they're all whatever, because look, coaches are mercenaries. They change jerseys and they move on, and that's what they do. But you do wonder a little bit if there's a vision, if they believe in the vision of the program on a macro level. And again, you got to be careful with that, because it's kind of like saying the media. Well, there's not one opinion for the media, or there's not one opinion for politicians. Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, sure. You have to be really careful with those broad terms. But just in general, when there's this level of turnover, and I know it's been a running joke on the board of lateral move, not lateral move. And again, every one of the changes in a vacuum, I can justify in some way. If that was the change, every one of them I can go, whatever.
Sure.
There's no doubt about that. And I know that would be the remark from somebody who says everything's cool. And I get that. However, when it's this large, I do think you have to wonder, okay, well, are they not – is there something about it that has a stability issue with them to be that eager for the move that, at least, like I said, I can make the argument that it made sense for them, and I can also make the argument that a lot of them are lateral moves. So it's a weird dynamic from that juxtaposition to me. Right.
Yeah,
now.
Look, if you wanted to do Pollyanna, you could do it.
100%.
And if you wanted to go negative, you could do it. And usually the truth is somewhere in the middle.
Yeah.
Almost always.
Yeah, Lebby went home. Durkin went somewhere where he gets to be a little more involved, gets to be more his show, blah, blah, blah. Kevin Smith went home, all this stuff. But then you look at it on a different level and you go, okay, Power 5 coordinator to Power 5 coordinator, Power 5 coordinator to Power 5 coordinator, Power 5 running backs coach to Power 5 running backs coach, mm-hmm. on and on down the line.
Sure.
And, you know, so again, it literally gives you whatever you would like right there to make the argument for.
And then in the coaching fraternity – and I talked to some coaches last night. There's a skepticism about what Kiffin's doing.
Now, with Portal.
With Portal, with being able to retain coaches. Now, every one of the people that I talked to last night, every single one, and I talked to three, okay, they said, but you know what? He might be cutting edge on this. Mm-hmm. This might just be the way that he runs a program. He might thrive in what other people view as chaos. Not a negative. Different people are fueled in different ways. I mean, there's an ad that we do for Pinnacle, right? And if you think about it, it's true. Jay always laughs at it when we're doing G-Pits, because for whatever reason, it amuses him. Different people have different retirement goals.
Sure.
Right? Some people, their idea of retirement is, I want to hang out at home. I want to be a professional grandparent. Maybe I'll have a garden in the back. Maybe I'll just watch the birds. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing wrong with that. That's cool. If that brings you peace. And then there's some people that, no. I busted my ass. I raised the kids. They're on their own. We're traveling. I'm going to see the world. I always wanted to go to Portugal. I'm going. I always wanted to go to Brazil. I'm going.
Yeah, sure.
Right? And there's nothing wrong with that either.
Yeah.
But those have two different requirements from a savings standpoint.
Yeah, sure.
And so that's a little bit of, by the way, it's mypinwealth.com, M-Y-P-I-N-N wealth.com.
Yeah.
But different programs run different ways. Different people run a program in a different way. The way that Mark Stoops runs his program at Kentucky might be completely different than the way Lane Kiffin runs his program at Ole Miss, but it doesn't make one right or wrong, mm-hmm. better or worse, but it's different. And so it won't be for everyone. So it's conceivable that a coach is on a staff at a place like Ole Miss and goes, man, I can't operate in this. And then there might be coaches that come in and go, hey, it's cool. It doesn't affect me. I can roll. And so it is different. I mean, so I don't know. What do you read into all the different coaches leaving? I tend to lean more towards they all got opportunities that in a vacuum they just couldn't turn down. Now, is there something to, hey, it was kind of chaotic and disorganized and in their, and you got to remember now, coaches.
Resets.
Yeah.
Honeymoons.
Yeah. And also, but assistant coaches are creatures of habit. Most coaches, if the meeting is scheduled to start at 7, they want the meeting to start at 7. And so when the meeting doesn't start until 8:15 or it gets pushed back until 1, they get antsy. Habits. I'm that way in game week. I get up on certain days. I set up this piece of content. I set up this piece of content. I'm taping an interview.
And if it gets altered.
And if it goes down to 1:30, I can feel myself getting a little antsy. I'm a creature of habit. So I get it. Some people, that's not what other people view as chaos. They just view as, hey, this is kind of fun. It's kind of an adventure. And so it's different. So I don't, we'll see. I mean, and they were all, everybody says that. Even people who I think are somewhat skeptical about what Kiffin's doing say, hey, there's a real chance now. Because they all tell you the same thing. The guy's really smart. Knows what he's doing. He's very, very good at evaluating. He's very, very good at offense. He's very good at a lot of things, and he's bright. Nobody has ever accused in conversations with me. I've had people tell me that Lane Kiffin is disorganized. I've had people use the word dysfunctional. The same people will turn around and go, but he's incredibly bright. And so you sit, wait and see. I don't know. What is it? But what does it mean for Coleman Hutzler himself? It's an opportunity to join Nick Saban's staff at Alabama, which for coaches, they'll tell you that is a line on the resume that you just can't turn down.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, it's not even necessarily about Hutzler. That one doesn't make. I mean, frankly, I said he gets to do a little bit of everything. The rumor is that there was no actual job open yesterday. The rumor is that Sal Cenceri is stepping off the field. Is the rumor that's going around there, and that's what is opening that position.
I can see that.
Said that he is moving away into some other role inside the Alabama program. They also hired Robinson, that had been at South Carolina, I guess, the former Auburn player, to coach defensive backs yesterday. So Alabama with two moves there from a coaching staff standpoint yesterday. Look, the portal, it's fascinating because Ole Miss right now, we don't do rankings, so I'll give them credit. 24/7, I think, is who it is. They have Ole Miss, the number two ranked portal class in the country, behind LSU, just behind LSU.
How close are these? Can they win that championship?
I don't know. SC is number three. But no, Florida State or SC is three, but they have a lot. They have more commitments. By actual per commitment rating, Ole Miss is number one in the country. But what is funny about it is it feels like, because it's such an important position, Jackson Dart dictates perspective on the portal class in some ways. Because if they get Dart, if that ends up coming through, and obviously we'll talk about it in a minute, if you get Dart, then you have found another quarterback. You've got a good competition with him in Altmyer. You get a little more stability in the room. You get the right number of guys in the room for the most part that you need. You've hit kind of that last spark there. If you don't get Dart, you're having to go down another spot. I would have no idea who the quarterback is at that point. I mean, it's a reset to figure out who would be next on the list.
I mean, everybody mentions JT Daniels, but I know absolutely nothing from a connection standpoint that would lead me to immediately go, okay, well, we're on JT Daniels' watch now. There might be something, but if there is, maybe you can correct me. I've not heard anyone mention his name yet.
It's only because it's the next dude. I mean, that's right. Why there's any connection there at all is just simply that it's the next guy on the list. But no, if you get Dart, I think that you go, no, it completely worked. It worked,
yeah.
And congratulations, and by God, you pulled it off, and it whatever.
Yeah.
You don't get Dart, and you still get some other dudes, but you go, okay, well, who's the other quarterback? Again, they just need a body, even if Altmyer is absolutely Matt Corral in 2 years. They still need depth. They still need more guys in the room. There's mm-hmm. nobody in the room. So,
yeah, for sure.
You know, that's what it's dictated to. You know, just you can make the argument that Trigg gives you the possibility of a tight end that can do some things in the middle of the field like Kenny Yeboah did. I mean, he hasn't shown that yet. I mean, it's a potential thing. It's not a production thing.
Sure.
But no,
has the talent to do it.
Sure. Yeah. And I think that's why people are, you know, fans are waiting with bated breath here a little bit on these two guys that apparently are not going to make a decision anytime soon because it does. I think it completely changes the tenor of the class in either direction depending on these two because especially the quarterback thing, if you don't end up, you know, we had kind of this mass of people, and I think Dart counts in this. You had Rattler, Williams, Gabriel, Dart. I think those were kind of the four that said, okay, those are step-in guys. There's been potential. There's been different things that they can do.
Yeah.
And if you don't end up with one of those four, as you said, a very prolific offense, just coming off Matt Corral, I think that goes down a step, and that big time kind of disintegrates your grade as far as what you did in the portal for the year. And if you end up with one of them, yeah, you completely pulled it off. So, I mean, I understand why there is so much tension from the fan base awaiting these decisions. Also, because I can make one argument, as Neil made before we started the show. Otherwise, I don't really understand what they're waiting on. It doesn't make sense to me. I thought a couple of days made a lot of sense, but we're bordering into this is just theater for theater's sake at this point, frankly.
If it doesn't happen today,
yeah,
I will for the first time believe that there's a problem.
But even if there's a problem, you still, I think, know what you're doing. I think this weird play out, I have a hard time believing they're completely undecided today. Maybe they are. I don't buy it.
Yeah, if I'll give them till today.
Okay.
But look, I mean, they're doing the social media thingy, and then, which is, I don't want to sound like an old. It doesn't bother me.
Actually, it's probably good for our business. As a friend told me yesterday, hey, it's your second wedding. Just go get married.
Yeah. It is. When the people,
you're a free agent.
Your first wedding, it's a big deal. Your second wedding, if you make it too big of a deal, it kind of starts getting weird. And it's kind of where they are. But he did go visit BYU yesterday. And a week ago, I think when his name first popped up in this, the two schools that were linked to him were Ole Miss and BYU. So it is possible, and again, I don't know this, it's possible that he is just crossing every T and dotting every I. Again, this is for Jackson Dart and for Trigg. This is a really big decision because once you make this, once you enroll in classes,
this is it.
You lose your get out of jail free card. The next time you, if this doesn't work out and you transfer, you sit a year. This is you. When you enroll, they hand you your NIL deal and all that stuff, and then you also hand in your get out of jail free card. You hand in your one time no penalty transfer card. The next time there is a penalty. So I don't, you know, from that perspective, if you just want to be 100% sure and there was something about BYU looming in the back of your mind, well, I get it.
Oh, sure. Yeah,
and,
yeah,
and that's possible. And I do think I've had people say, well, how does that impact Trigg? I do think based on talking to people that they are absolutely a package deal.
I don't think Trigg's going to BYU.
No, no, no. I don't guess.
I don't think so. Who knows?
But I am hearing,
I think they would both go to Ole Miss or Oklahoma.
Yeah, I'm hearing from multiple people that they are a package deal. Now, again, that could be, and it could be Dart wanting to be able to tell BYU down the road, hey, I did come look. But I did show you some respect, but not now.
Home state school, right. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, I mean, he's, that's, yeah. Mean, you know, I mean.
He's Mormon.
It's a Midwestern Catholic kid looking at Notre Dame.
Yeah. Yeah.
Making sure that you, making sure you're not missing something. Maybe, I don't know. I mean, I haven't talked to Jackson Dart. He's not talking other than his post, and his family's not talking. His high school coach isn't talking. Everyone's keeping it very quiet and letting him make his decision. And even people around Trigg who at one point were talking are no longer talking.
Yeah.
At all.
A little more on this in a minute. First, I'll tell you about Community Mortgage, Oxford, Memphis, Soto County, and Chattanooga. All underwriting and processing is done in Memphis. You're going to local underwriting and understand your market, a leader in condo financing, the float down option, and more. You can find Jason at 662-234-2704. Or JLOWE at communitymtg.com.
We're also brought to you by Grenada Nissan. If you're in the market for a Nissan vehicle, Grenada Nissan's the place to go. They've got a complete selection of new and previously owned Nissan vehicles, great lease deals as well. It's GrenadaNissanUSA.com. Don't just accept what you see, but imagine something new. Step forward and chase after a better version of yourself. Every day, Corinth Dental is helping people reinvent themselves. One smile at a time. Dr. Bubba McQueen, Dr. Jenny Beth Hendrick are devoted to restoring and enhancing the natural beauty of your smile using conservative state-of-the-art procedures, including Invisalign. These clear aligners are the virtually invisible way to improve your smile. Call Corinth Dental today for a no-cost digital scan of your teeth. Let them show you the way to a straighter, healthier smile. 12 months, no interest, no down payment. Financing available at CorinthDental.com. We're also brought to you by The Rogue. It's your destination for fine men's clothing. They're stylist hand-select pieces from top designers. From work to lifestyle to nightlife, there's the perfect something for everyone at The Rogue. All the best items from Peter Millar, Martin Dingman, Jack Victor, Halsey, True Grit, and more. 4450 I-55 North in Jackson or therogue.com. And we're brought to you by our friends at Service Specialist. What are your goals for the year 2022? Does your company need hard-to-find talent to meet these goals? Maybe you're personally seeking a career change? Let this be your year to make the change, and your first step needs to be to contact Service Specialist Employment Agency. They're the oldest employment agency in Mississippi. They recruit in all industries. Remember, there's nothing to lose by reaching out. No cost to you as a candidate. Everything is kept confidential. Service Specialist wishes you and your company a successful 2022. You can contact them at 662-832-5138. I posted a mailbag yesterday at rebelgrove.com. It's brought to you by Whitney McNutt, Tommy Morgan Incorporated Realtors. She's serving you for all of your real estate needs in Oxford and Tupelo. She sells condos, land, commercial, and residential family homes. You can reach her at 662-567-2573 or 662-842-3844.
Podcast is brought to you by G&M Pharmacy. That is on South Lamar in Oxford, 662 236-2222. Also in Holly Springs with Tyson Drugs. They deliver locally in the Oxford area, so you don't have to leave your home. They will bring it to you. They also offer medicine. Fill your prescriptions the same day each month and take care of you. One trip to the pharmacy, one delivery, and you have what you need when you need it there with GNM and Tyson Drugs. They also offer Right Way Meds, so they'll individually package your medication if that is something you need. That can save lives in some circumstances. So again, GNM 662-236-2222. Now, look, I mean, the only other thing from a straight what is, what's taking so long is Dart really struggling with the Dylan Gabriel situation at Oklahoma.
Yeah.
Do I have a fair chance? Can I win the job? Am I just going to sit? Am I really going somewhere that one of the other top four or five quarterbacks of the portal is going as well? Which never happens in recruiting. I mean, it literally is, it's a unicorn.
And I've heard from enough people now that he might really like Ole Miss too. So I'm not saying he doesn't really like Ole Miss, but he really liked Oklahoma. And so that's the thing that keeps popping up in conversations with people there is that he has concerns about Gabriel. Now, does that mean that if Dylan Gabriel weren't in the picture that he would already be Boomer Sooner? I don't know that. But he really liked it. I mean, as can happen when you visit, you can take two visits and like them both so much that it's very confusing.
The other thing is that, I mean, as you saw, Ole Miss lost the coach last night. I mean, there's a lot of different things. Is there something that he is hearing from a staff change situation where he goes, okay, just let me string it, just to see if there's something going on at one of his schools?
Because there is a rumor.
Those are the two things that make sense to me, as you said, because it just keeps lingering and keeps lingering and keeps lingering.
Because, again, it's the get-out-of-jail-free card. You lose it, and if you enroll someplace and then a coach bolts, well, now you're stuck. Which doesn't mean that it won't end up being the greatest experience of your life and it won't be the most whatever, whatever. But if you're trying to have every piece of information to take the Lane Kiffin tweets a step further, if you're trying to have every piece of the puzzle in front of you, maybe you buy yourself a couple of days to make sure.
Do you feel like, because we talked about this last night and I looked it up and it is not, there's been zero official. Do you think the Oklahoma-USC tampering thing is why Caleb Williams has not said anything? He's still completely on the market.
Yeah, I wonder. I mean, look, there's a rumor.
It's weird.
There's a rumor that he still wants to, I mean, so you trace this back. We've worked these quarterbacks for days, weeks.
And look, Caleb Williams is the bell cow to this whole portal situation. He's number one.
Yeah. And so here's what I've been told about Caleb Williams consistently, and now from multiple people, including someone at USC, okay, is that Caleb Williams, if it were completely up to him, if there was nothing else involved, and it was totally up to Caleb Williams, he would just stay at Oklahoma. He liked it. He has friends on the team. He was wildly popular on the team. If it were completely just up to
him. The school basically came out and broke the stupid rule and said, we'll get you all the NIL we can if you stay.
Of course. But there were some other feelings involved, and now Dylan Gabriel's there. I mean, classes started on Tuesday. Oklahoma's on the same schedule Ole Miss is on.
Yeah, their final drop dead date's a couple days earlier. It's the 27th, the 28th.
I mean, I'm assuming Dylan Gabriel has gone to class.
Yeah, that I have no idea about Gabriel. I don't know.
So, look, man, hell, I don't know. I'm just a little old guy covering Ole Miss.
That's what it is because, look, SC and Oklahoma so much bad blood over tampering that happened that SC has been stupidly careful. And everything is getting prolonged. This isn't necessarily about Ole Miss. I just wonder, there's something in my head telling me, are we all just kind of speculating on this Caleb Williams to SC?
Well, there were reports that came out that he had signed. Literally, people used that word.
Yeah, and that is not true.
And apparently that's not accurate.
No, he's done nothing.
But, see, he can sign scholarship papers at SC, and that doesn't change anything. It means he can't go to another Pac-12 school. But that doesn't prevent him from going back to Oklahoma, going to a Big Ten school, an SEC school, he could go to ULM, he could go to the Sun Belt, he could go to the CUSA. I mean, he just can't go to another Pac-12 school. That's all that means. In the same way that, I mean, someone could sign SEC scholarship papers at Ole Miss, not go to class, change their mind. Could they go to Auburn? No. Could they go to Arkansas? No. Could they go to Purdue? Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Without penalty. Now, once you go to class, you're enrolled. Now you lost your card. So I don't know whether Caleb Williams has gone to class. USC began classes a week ago.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he gone to class? I don't know. Beats me.
Yeah, and SC did not put a drop add date on their academic calendar. They simply have classes begin on the 10th.
It's typically 2 weeks. So he's, running out of time, but probably has another 3 or 4 days.
Mm-hmm. And again, you can finite. I mean, that's.
Are you saying.
That's a suggested.
Are you saying that they might pull some strings for an athlete? Sometimes your attitude, it just.
Yeah, I'm saying that is not.
Yesterday, it was your complete flippant dismissal of Vanderbilt Cares Month. And now it's this. It's just day after day.
I talked to somebody who was at the game the other night.
Yeah.
Said that they checked the cards at the door. But yes, fans could get in. They were not students, obviously, because plenty were Tennessee.
Yes.
But yeah. I don't know. This has gone against kind of recruiting rules to this point. Like I said, you never really see two top quarterbacks because they're in the same place. Usually the number one quarterback makes a decision and then it's a trickle-down effect. And I think that is what has happened because everybody's just assumed on Caleb Williams. And it's potentially right, probably right, but
well,
I don't know.
Someone in the stream, and I missed it because it fell off, but I saw a couple of words. I've said this. I'd give credit, but I whatever. They don't have – ideally, from Jackson Dart's standpoint – ideally, you would go through spring, learn the playbook, all that stuff. But, Chase, it's not a requirement.
No.
So if he gets to a point where he goes, you know what, I just don't know, he can sit back and go, I'm going to take the spring. I'm going to go to Canyon Valley Community College and get 9 hours here, and I'm going to go train, and I'm going to take my time. It's well within his rights. Is it ideal? Of course not. Is it a possibility for him? Is that on his menu? Sure. Might be on page 7.
It would make no sense.
It doesn't make sense, but it's absolutely within his...
It is an option.
Options.
Yes, it is an option.
If he just can't decide, he could stay there in Utah and go to some community college or something, or go online, University of Phoenix or something, go to...
Southern New Hampshire,
get himself 9 hours. Because he's still taking the early 100, 200 level classes, I'm betting. Go train. He could get a quarterback trainer.
I guarantee SC's cut his scholarship.
He could keep doing Instagram photo shoots. I mean, it'd be fine.
So, your gut today?
Oh, I don't know that I even have a gut anymore.
Instincts are gone on this one.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably still bet on Ole Miss.
But I mean, happening today.
I've got a couple of people who have told me they expect it to happen today.
People tell you they expect it to happen yesterday?
No, I was never told that. Nobody ever told me yesterday.
The Oklahoma people all thought yesterday.
Yeah.
Actually, frankly, they kind of thought the day before, even. I just don't know.
I don't know. Canyon Valley Community College to the top.
Is that a real thing?
I don't know. I just made it up.
Oh, you don't even know if that's a real school?
I have no clue.
There's Grand Canyon. That's a 4-year
school.
That's
Arizona. Though.
Is it Arizona?
I was just trying to think of a community college there in Utah or something where he could go get 6 hours.
Utah have community colleges?
I don't know. It might not be safe right now.
I know nothing about it.
I just don't know.
Yeah, Dart visited BYU yesterday. Sorry, we didn't actually didn't say that verbatim.
We did say it.
Did we?
Okay. Yeah.
I don't know. Yeah. Nobody seems to know anything since like noon yesterday.
It's just really, it's gone very quiet. And sometimes quiet can be.
I mean nothing.
You know, the calm before the storm, and sometimes quiet just means there's nothing.
Well, there's going to be a storm when they finally make a decision. Yes.
Yeah.
That is going to be a storm in some direction right there.
Could go to Bishop Sycamore. Get him some hours. Train.
That charade's over, right?
I think so.
They completely gone?
I think so.
Who was it? Was it Hoover that just beat, or was IMG? Who was it?
IMG.
It was IMG.
Yeah, yeah.
It wasn't a fair fight.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all.
Let's
I got.
See. I'm fine.
Yeah, I don't know if Oklahoma was being funny yesterday on their official football Twitter account or if they were completely oblivious. I kind of would buy either one.
He could go to Salt Lake Community College.
That's a school.
Yep. Dixie State University there in St. George. That's a two-year plan.
Dixie State's a two-year school?
Yes, sir.
Really?
Snow College in Ephraim, Utah. 2 years. Let's see. Let's see what else we got. We got options, man. Broadview College. Kind of expensive, though. He's got lots of options.
Yeah, Sammy, that's all we miss for, like, just a nuclear bomb today is if Dart and Trigg show up in, like, Athens.
Oh, yeah.
Tuscaloosa or something.
Yeah, you got lots of Salt Lake Community College locations kind of appears to be all over.
Okay.
Yeah, you got the Salt Lake Community College Miller campus, which is in Sandy, Utah. The Jordan campus, which is in West Jordan, Utah.
Okay.
The Meadowbrook campus, which is there. It's temporarily closed, the one in Meadowbrook. That does not appear to be an option right now. What else you want to know?
I'm good.
There's Mountain Land Technical College in Lehi, Utah. Davis Technical College in Kaysville, Utah. You know what the mascot is for Snow College? I bet you don't.
Cougars.
It's not a bad guess, but you're wrong.
Okay.
I'll give you one more since you were that close.
Leopard?
No.
Okay, go ahead.
Badgers.
Okay, how the hell was Cougar close to Badger?
It's an animal. It's a good Power Five guess.
Okay.
Because if you told me Snow College, I'd be like, the Eagles, the Eskimos, something like that. I'd be thinking cold.
Something a little on the nose, if you will.
Yeah. There's Utah Valley.
Badger's a good mascot.
Badger is a good mascot.
I like Badgers.
Provo College. There's lots of options. I mean, Nightingale College. Listen, the list goes on and on.
Okay. All right. We'll stop this tomfoolery in a second.
It is interesting that you immediately picked Cougars. Is there something you want to share with the class?
No, I just merely, you know, animal, cat, Snow College. Yeah. It seemed to work.
I've seen you walk into Swayze.
Panther.
60-year-old women kind of start chasing you around.
Yeah. I have a few like to talk. I've lost all train of thought now. All right. We'll cover everything. Ole Miss women play Texas A&M tonight in College Station. I know, just in case you guys are curious, I don't even know what time the game is, but yeah, they are there. Rebels 14-2, 3-1 in the SEC. They're at A&M tonight. A&M blew an opportunity last night in men's basketball against Kentucky.
They did. They might look back on that one and go, boy, that hurt.
They needed that one.
Had a real shot.
They had a shot to really extend early and get the commanding lead, and they let Kentucky hang in with like four or five at half, and you went, oh,
yeah,
that's not a good sign.
You kind of knew they were playing with fire right there.
Like, because Kyle Tucker, who covers Kentucky, complete homer, but he made some statement of A&M has got to feel as bad as any team could being up five right now in this game. And I went, no, that's right. Yeah. That's 100% correct.
You're a homer, but you're not wrong.
Yeah. He does good work, but he's very Kentucky. So, yeah, that's that. But anyway, Ole Miss women tonight, whatever time it is. 7 o'clock, SEC Network Plus tonight. The okay. Aggies are 11-6, Ole Miss 15-2.
Okay.
That is that in College Station. So,
who were the other games last night? I know.
Yeah, I was going to go there in a minute. Okay. We'll a couple of SEC basketball and that and a couple of things. You were right about Auburn blowing Georgia out early and then coasting. That's exactly what happened in that one.
Oh, yeah. The other game was really good.
Yeah, the game was good.
The other game was really good.
Yeah. So, yeah. We'll get into those in a second. First, tell you about Nick's Tan and Associates. That's nickstanoxford.com, 662-281-1200. Let them help you out on both sides of the real estate acquisitions here in Oxford and Lafayette County, the buy side, the sell side. I've used them multiple times. You should give them a chance as well. That's Nick's Tan and Associates here in Oxford, 662-281-1200 or nickstanoxford.com.
OPA is Oxford's newest restaurant on the historic square. Delicious menu featuring gyros, wraps, kebabs, fresh redfish, lamb chops, and more. Handcrafted cocktails, frozen libations, an amazing candlelit patio. All of that at 306 South Lamar in Oxford. Also brought to you by my friend John Edwards, Regency Travel Incorporated in Memphis. If you're thinking about traveling, maybe you're planning a summer vacation, you're thinking about something spring break coming up here pretty quick, or maybe you're planning something for the next holiday season, whatever the case may be, get in touch with John. Just give him some parameters and a budget. Sit back and chill. He will give you tons of options, as complicated or simple as you would like. And no, you don't have to live in or near Memphis to take advantage of his services. 901-494-3387 or send him an email, jedwards@regencytravel.net. First-time clients can save $50 off their first booked trip just by telling John you heard about Regency Travel on the podcast. And we're brought to you by the College Corner. It's your one-stop Rebel Shop, two locations in the Jackson area in Ridgeland. It's next to Fleet Feet in Flowood. It's next to Half Shell. If you don't live in Jackson, just go to collegecornerstore.com. Plus, you can find them on Facebook and Instagram. Whether you're tailgating in Oxford or home gating with friends and family, the College Corner has you covered for game day with the largest selection of Rebel gear in central Mississippi. And we're brought to you by Comer Heating and Air, Southern Air Conditioning and Heating. They sponsor Hand Raise Guys every Thursday night. Different names, same great products and services. If you live in Oxford, Tupelo, or the surrounding area, call Comer 662-801-1777. If you live in Hernando, Memphis, or the surrounding area, call Southern at 662-429-4429. And we're brought to you by Lamons Fine Jewelry. Lamons, 1126 North Lamar Boulevard in Oxford, has been serving the Oxford area for 3/4 of a century. Whether you're looking for engagement rings, wedding rings, fine jewelry, watches, pearls, fashion jewelry, children's jewelry, collectibles, or more, Lamons has it. It is the gold standard in fine jewelry. Visit them at lamonsfinejewelry.com or call them at 662-234-2777.
It is king cake season, and Johnston Hill Creamery can help you out. They're right there on White Oak Lane in Oxford, right off Molly Bar, 662-419-9201. You can check them out on their Instagram page, Johnston Hill Creamery. See the pictures of the different king cake options, sizes, flavors, and much more. They've got great add-on items. They make all their cheese locally in-house every single day. That's made with Brown Dairy Farm milk, and they have tons of different creative cheeses, things you can do. You can also still schedule cheese class if you'd like to do that. As many as 12 people getting together, they'll run you through cheese plates, charcuterie boards, and more. Maybe give you a gift on the way home as well in some instances. So 662-419-9201, cheese at JohnstonHillCreamery.com. And again, Johnston Hill Creamery on their Instagram page. Yeah, now our stream is discussing what age that would refer to.
What age is a cougar?
Yes, that is correct. And as somebody said, it depends on what your age is.
It would depend on the cougar's target age, right?
Yes, it would be relative. It would be a ratio based off of the other age.
Be 10 years older minimum, right?
Yeah, I think that's probably the right gap there, whatever that is. Yeah, in the league last night. There are 4 games. Huge win for Mike White last night, 80-72 over Mississippi State. They were playing with at Castleton last night, a game that State was leading by 6 at the break. Bulldogs completely collapsed in the last 7 or 8 minutes. One Florida really needed to get, and one that Ben Howland's going to be looking back on potentially there for the Bulldogs. Good game, but interesting one there is Florida shorthanded found a way to pull that off. It was pretty entertaining. As we mentioned, Kentucky goes on the road to Reed Arena and wins 64-58 over Texas A&M. Kentucky now 15-3. A&M now 15-3 as well. The Aggies were up by 5 at the break, and then Kentucky outscores them 34-23 in the second half yesterday. As you mentioned, Auburn no problems at all, moving to 17-1. They beat Georgia 83-60, but at the break they were up 52-27 last night. So they
went about like I thought it
completely would. Hammered the Bulldogs early, and then Georgia outscored them 33-31 in the second half when it absolutely did not matter and it was coasting on in. So all right,
Avery brings up a good point. I know we're jumping on a lot of things. What if the guy's 10 years older? He's not a Cougar because a Cougar.
They still have the name, but same principle.
Is it the same principle?
Why would it not be?
It shouldn't be different.
You're being sexist?
It
is that what you're doing?
Yes. It shouldn't be different, but for whatever reason, it is viewed differently. In society,
you think it's more acceptable?
It is viewed differently. I didn't say acceptable. I said viewed differently. For me, whatever is acceptable. Whatever makes you happy, fine. So I'm not a judger, but I am curious why a woman who goes after a man who's 10 years younger than her has a definition. It's called cougar.
Yeah.
But a man,
it's not fair.
But a man who goes after a woman who's 10 years younger than him, people just go, good job, buddy. It is different.
It shouldn't be.
It should not be.
Should not be. Well, it depends on the age of the other one.
I mean, if she's 16, yeah. But, I mean, if she's 40 and the guy's 52, nobody would judge that, right? Nobody judges that. Nobody calls that guy a name.
Correct. Yeah.
55-year-old guy whose wife passed away. Sure. And he starts dating a 41-year-old. No one says anything.
No.
48-year-old guy starts dating a 24-year-old. No one says anything.
Waiting.
But if a 48-year-old woman...
8:56.
But if a 48-year-old woman started dating a 24-year-old law student, people would be like, what's up with that?
It shouldn't be different.
Shouldn't be.
Shouldn't be different.
Nah, Chet, I'm done, dude.
Neil's been pretty consistent with that one.
If something were to happen today, I'm finished.
Pretty Woman's not a bad flick. Some people in there hadn't seen Pretty Woman.
No, it's a good movie. It's fine. Yeah. I mean, it's one that you have to...
I like a good rom-com. It's all right.
Yeah, and you have to view it through that prism. You can't go, oh, this is not realistic. Well, of course it's not realistic.
You know, the original script of that was really, really dark.
Really?
The friend died at the end. There was a lot more drugs. Like, yeah, they rewrote it into a rom-com. It was initially like a gritty-ass movie.
Oh, wow.
And they pulled
it. So they originally wrote it realistically.
Or much more realistically, yeah. And then because look, if we're really going to nitpick that movie... I got lots of problems. Oh. I mean, we could go for days.
We could do a show in June where we take that movie and pick apart everything wrong.
Every time
with
you get to a nitpick, just stop it and write it down. We'll be there a minute.
Hours.
It's
into hour number 5 of critiquing Pretty Woman. Thank you, Kyle. He says, I can't wait for the summer random podcast topics.
Yeah, that's
we could do that one. Because I have tons of...
You got takes.
And it's two things. And I can really like the movie.
It's a good movie. It's a good movie.
I can enjoy it. But I can also just pick it apart on so many levels.
Okay. You have to be into Richard Gere and Julia Roberts being protagonists for this take a little bit. But what I come off... And God, we're going to move on. What I come off of watching that movie is how horrible of a human being Jason Alexander's character is in that movie.
Yeah.
He comes off like the scum of the earth, and you want to just like...
Yeah, he's
strangle.
Bad person.
Yeah, really bad. Like, you've got these other two people, and then he's the one that comes off looking terrible in this thing.
Yeah.
It's something. Yeah.
Because Richard Gere's character is kind of at his core a bad guy. Going through a difficult time in his life, and she's a prostitute. So, I mean,
it's true. Yes.
There's not a lot to love right at the beginning, and by the end, you like both of those characters, and you hate Jason Alexander's character.
Yeah.
Which is fairly good, I guess, writing.
Yeah, sure. Last night, I had forgotten about this game until a buddy texted me. So I only caught the last, I don't know how many ever minutes of it. Alabama winning last night, winning their fifth straight against LSU in the series, by the way. 70-67, mm-hmm. Their first meetup since the flare-up at the end of the SEC tournament last year when, let's just say Nate Oates and Will Wade are not fond of one another.
I think that's
these
fair.
Two teams hate one another.
They do. Starting with the coaches.
Yeah. It trickles down from those two coaches. Yeah.
Nate Oates despises Will Wade.
As I told my buddy last night, it takes probably a lot for me to be welcoming Rammer Jammer and wanting to hear it because I don't really pull for Alabama very often. Will Wade is one of the few people that can make me go, yes. I was without even a second thought inside me when I turned it in, I was all tied last night in that game. Like, I was pulling actively for Alabama in this game. Like,
absolutely. I grew up an Alabama fan, and it is so easy when they play LSU to just put the hat back on. Like, roll tide. Let's go.
I mean, seriously, like, because LSU's making a – I mean, I think Alabama has the game won, and LSU makes a run there late. Yeah. You're going, oh. Because they got a shot off at the buzzer that was a damn good look to tie it.
And Will Wade bitching after the game, got a technical because he said it was goaltending. He's got to protect my guys. And he's doing his chair. He's doing his Zoom like this. He's rocking.
Oh, was he really?
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, stop. Sit still. He tries way too hard.
Bama now 12-6, a game they actually really needed.
Because they have a really tough stretch coming up. They've got Baylor. Baylor, Auburn, and Kentucky in consecutive games.
So they could be pretty good and be 12-6, 12-9.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when it is, but it is coming.
There's really?
A stretch of games, yeah, where they play three in a row against three really good teams.
Ooh.
Yeah, I mean, but now the flip side, you win one of those three games, and I mean, you're cooking with gas at that.
Well, they're going to win the next two, so they're going to be 14-6, and then that gauntlet happens.
So you win one of them, you're 15-8, and you're cruising.
They've got Missouri at home, at Georgia, and then it starts. They play Baylor at home, at Auburn, Kentucky at home, three in a row, and the next game after that is actually in Oxford.
Mm-hmm.
And then Arkansas State, Kentucky again at Rupp, Vanderbilt, South Carolina, A&M. They got a good little stretch there late to close and pick up some more wins too. But yeah, that is not a favorable slate there for Bama. Unless you get one.
Yeah, I just got to get one. I bet they get one of the home games. I bet they get Baylor or Kentucky.
Oh, yeah.
I bet they get one.
Yeah. They're good. I mean,
no, they're really good. No, they're.
You like Alabama or LSU more in the tournament?
Bama.
Do you?
Yeah. Because I want Nate Oates on my bench, not that cat.
Okay.
And Quinterly's really good. They've got talent. And he'll put it together. His teams get better as they go, almost always.
No, there's not even a part of me that wants LSU to win the basketball national title. Like, oh, not even the sliver of my pinky wants that. No.
No. No. That'd be the only part of LSU winning the national title that would be fun to watch from our perspective would be watching the national media in the tournament, because
oh,
in the tournament, now think about this, in the tournament, they have to be pro-tournament. They're pro-tournament, because this is the greatest event. This is March. This is the greatest event in the world. Everything's awesome. God, we get more shrimp cocktail. This is great. Look at this. It's at the end of every Sunday, this is the best sport on earth, which is why no one keeps up with it except for 3 weeks a year. But they do all that. But if LSU were to run the table in that tournament, do they write about Will Wade and federal wiretaps and what is clearly a paid-for roster? Or do they suddenly go, you know, these kids, this kid comes from such an underprivileged background. Look at the story and whoa, Will, and quote Will Wade talking about what a great kid he is. What do they do? It would be for the Pat Fortes of the world, Dan Wolkins of the world, it would be quite the quandary. Because to write the stories that they would like to write, they give up their St. Elmo's cocktail.
I remember this from last year. There was obvious cheering when LSU was eliminated from that tournament last year.
Yes.
That they are out and now.
Because they were making a run.
Yeah.
I mean, they were getting there. That game against Alabama eliminated them, right?
Was it Bama?
I think it was Bama. And, I mean, you know, you were like watching that going, LSU, if they win this one, I mean, all bets are off.
Which one beat Michigan? Was it Bama that beat Michigan? Or did Michigan beat Bama? Did they eliminate Alabama?
Michigan beat
Bama?
Bama, I thought. I can't remember. I'm just glad that those players were able to safely get
through. I watched a lot of the tournament, but I just don't remember.
Well, it was terrifying. I mean, with all the COVID just
rampant.
Well, I mean, some of the teams that died in the tournament. I mean, it was sad. So sad. You remember, like, was it Wichita State that was scheduled to play and then four of their players died of the COVID that morning and they couldn't play? That was sad. Like, that didn't happen, did it? No.
Yeah, no, sorry. UCLA beat Alabama.
So Alabama.
Michigan beat Florida State.
Okay.
UCLA beat Michigan. That's right. I was completely off.
Got
there.
It. UCLA beat Bama, right.
Yeah. Michigan eliminated LSU.
Okay.
I knew they were all in the bracket, but I couldn't remember who did what to whom.
Okay.
So, anyway.
Was it the SEC championship when Alabama and
that is
LSU?
Correct. That was the big flare-up.
When it went at each other's throats?
Yeah. That was the deal there at the end when it got quite heated. Yes. That's true.
Give me more of that, by the way. Feed that straight into my veins.
So the Final Four was Michigan, UCLA, Baylor, and Gonzaga last year.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Because the kid
– Baylor beat Gonzaga in the final, right?
The kid for Gonzaga hit the crazy shot in the semifinals.
That's right. And when he hit it, you went, God, y'all were out of gas.
Yeah.
Like there was – because everybody kind of wanted Gonzaga to run it against Baylor.
And Davion Mitchell was just locking people down.
Yeah. That's right. That's a good point.
How many of the Gonzaga kids died of the COVID?
Seven.
They still made it to the final. What a resilient bunch.
It was Oates that went bonkers after the title game. Okay. Yeah, I remember watching that, but I didn't. Specifics were not.
Well, they had a fight before the game involving assistant coaches.
That's right.
Where Sankey had to come out on the floor. Yeah.
In a game that meant nothing.
Meant nothing, but those they hate each other to that level. And I'm just now I'm kind of cheering for LSU to make the Final Four. And damn it, I didn't want to go there.
What are you doing?
Because I do want the uncomfortable. And that is very uncomfortable for a lot of people that I just can't stand. And so it would be enjoyable for me to watch them suffer for a week. That's a week where they have to write about how great the tournament is.
But, dude.
And LSU's everything that is wrong with the sport boiled down, put right there. Everything that is wrong with the sport put right in front of you where you cannot deny it. Right there. With other teams, you can go, well, they kind of paid a price. Like if Auburn makes it, people might go, well, yeah, but, you know, they did lose a tournament. They did lose some scholarships. They did pay a price. And for the record, I don't put Bruce Pearl and Will Wade in the same ballpark. Bruce Pearl's a good dude. But LSU, there's nothing to mitigate. No, they've done all this and nothing's happened to them at all.
They just roll.
Oh, and by the way, their football program used money that got laundered through a children's hospital and nothing has happened. Oh, and they had players that raped women's tennis players and nothing has happened. But they're in the tournament. God, it's a great tournament. Isn't this the best time of year? Because those guys write about it like it's a Hallmark movie.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Hey, this couple, they're both so sad. And look, they found each other.
It's snowing. They went back home.
Snowing village, and they took a little while, but here they are together, and we're going to close the scene with them kissing and their families coming together.
When Nance gives his tie.
And everything. Yeah. One shining moment. The ball is tipped and there you are. I mean, it's right there. No, not with LSU. So I'd kind of now, so I can be happy. Here's the spin. I can be happy either way. If they get bounced in the first round by Western Kentucky, I'm in. If they make the finals and I have to watch the media squirm, I'm in.
Couple fun games on Saturday, just kind of closing the basketball portion of the show today. The huge one in Auburn, Kentucky at Auburn on Saturday. That's a noon tip there at Auburn Arena for the Cats and the Tigers.
Saturday, if you're a sports fan, kind of delivers.
It's a big day.
Saturday delivers.
Get the football.
Get the football starting at 3:30, and there's some basketball like can almost lead you there.
It's a good day to just chill.
Yeah, it's going to be cold.
It's the day to just chill.
Yeah.
Put some soup on. Throw something in the slow cooker. See where it goes.
Yeah, it's a put some chili on that morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's the move. Ole Miss at State is at 3. Kentucky at Auburn, 12. Vanderbilt at Florida, 12. Georgia, South Carolina, 2:30 in Columbia. Fair for that one. Not the one people will be checking out. SEC Network gets the privilege of doing that one. Yeah, this tells you all you need to know. Like, I mean, they're not stupid when you look at games and what channels they're on. Is the SEC Network has like basically a quadruple header on Saturday of the crap games.
Yeah.
And then, you know, even Ole Miss State, I mean, not a terrible game from a rivalry standpoint. Ole Miss won the first one. ESPNU, Kentucky Auburn, CBS,
mm-hmm.
and then LSU Tennessee, ESPN.
Oh, that's a good game, too.
Yeah.
What time's
that
game?
That game's at 5.
Yeah, I see.
No, that's ESPN going, look, we got to put something on. I know everybody's watching football.
Yeah.
Because it was always the funny thing growing up because, I mean, look, it was smart. It was completely the right thing was, you know, when – because they don't get any NFL games, and they might still do this. I just don't watch the show anymore. ESPN coming out of their morning show, NFL Countdown or whatever it was, they would go to bowling. They put bowling on at noon. Yeah, and you go, you know, let's go. White flag. You guys are going to CBS and Fox. Yeah, that's cool.
Yeah.
White flag. Here we go. Bowling.
We had you for 2.5 hours. See you later.
Yeah.
We'll be back tonight.
Yeah. Boomer will be with you at 6:30 and here we go and whatever.
Boomer and Tom will be back with you to go over the games at 6. For now, bowling.
But you know what? The guy that doesn't like football goes, hell, bowling. Yeah. Look at a few people turn it on and go, hey, it's fun.
The guy who fell asleep in the 11 o'clock,
he wakes up and it's cornhole and billiards. And
he wakes up and the guy's like, he needs a strike right here to advance to the final round. So I'm going to watch.
suddenly he's like calling his wife in, hey. He's got a 300 game going.
Look at this guy.
Yeah.
Starts the ball way out here.
Oh, God.
Will has a good question. Would you watch bowling or cornhole? Which sort of sucks you in without you wanting it to?
It's not even close. Okay, I'll answer the question while giving my other one, though. Okay. There's no doubt in my mind, of those type of sports, billiards is number one. I will sit and watch billiards for hours.
It's kind of like mesmerizing.
Yeah, I played a ton as a kid. I really liked the game. Like, I will watch a ton of pool. I mean, like, I'm bad about it. Even if I'm like scrolling through YouTube and I see like a couple different pool things, I'll turn it on and watch it. Like I'm kind of obsessed with billiards a little bit. No, cornhole over bowling for some reason. There's something about because I mean we've all played and like even people that go, hey, I'm pretty decent at it. Watching the pros play is to me that is more entertaining than hey, yeah, the guy's gonna bowl and it's gonna be a strike and they're really really good. I'm impressed, but there's something about cornhole that is more like I feel more relatable to it, if you will.
Yeah, because I don't completely understand the rules either, so that sort of engages my brain a little bit. Like, no kidding, what's he trying to do right there? Because with bowling, it's like, okay, if you don't get a strike, you're in trouble.
Yeah. The other guy gets a lot of strikes, you don't. That's a problem.
It's over, yeah.
Yeah. No, it's cool. It's cornhole over bowling.
I think so, too.
Yeah, but no, nowhere close to billiards.
But you can look up after 45 minutes. I cannot believe I just spent 45 minutes of my life watching cornhole. You just got sucked in.
Impressive. It's they're good.
They're really good.
Yeah. So Anyway, a couple more days to take advantage of our special with Prime Shrimp. That is PRIME, New Orleans-based company, PrimeShrimp.com. It's easy cooked shrimp, no mess, no prep. Just drop the frozen pouch into boiling water, ship straight to your door in just a few days. It's delicious shrimp cooked in less than 10 minutes. If you're on the fly, you don't have to be an expert chef. Just pop it in there. You get the signature seasoning, the French Quarter Alfredo that you can throw over pastas, do different things with. Again, for this first week, runs through Friday. Use code MPW, money back guaranteed if you don't love it. If you get over 4 pounds or 4 pounds or more, it ships free. And they sent a note yesterday. Tons of you guys tried it out yesterday. They appreciate that. So thank you from them. Again, primeshrimp.com. You deliver it right there to your door. Use code MPW.
Also brought to you by our friends at ACS, Automation and Control Systems, LLC. They are a complete electrical control system solution provider and a Rockwell Automation recognized system integrator based out of Baldwin, Mississippi. They have a full-time dedicated emergency service and troubleshooting staff and a UL508A panel shop. ACS can custom tailor software packages, custom design electrical control panel solutions, and much, much more. To learn more, go to acsllcms.com or call 662-601-4381. If you're planning on hanging around and just kind of bumming around this weekend, lots of great sports on the TV. Maybe you're going to have a brew or two. Highly recommend Game Changer patches. They're the only two patch system available in the market to stop hangovers before they start. The warm-up patch is used before or while you drink. The overtime patch used after you've been drinking to recover while you sleep. The all-natural ingredients will keep you in the game, ready for the next play. Go to GameChangerPatch.com. Enter the promo code REBELGROVE20 at checkout for 20% off your purchase. Also brought to you by Dead Soxy. Go to DeadSoxy.com. Enter the promo code REBELGROVE, 25% off your order of the best socks you will ever put on your feet. DeadSoxy.com. And we're brought to you by BroThrow. Looking for a fun way to bet this weekend, whether it's college basketball or the NFL, cornhole, whatever the case may be, go to BroThrow. It's a cool, fun way to bet. No third party, no juice. Over time, that's going to save you money. You can start your own group, make friends, invite your friends. Payment happens within 24 hours of the conclusion of your bet. You can take the other side of an existing bet, start a new bet, and more. Go register at brothrow.com.
Podcast also brought to you by Northeast Spark, NESPARC. That's service people across rural communities. Two packages, the Ignite 100 Mbps or the Blaze, the 1 gig that powers the Clark Ford Studio. I've got it at home as well. Your hometown team bringing you world-class broadband. That's NESPARC.com. 662-238-3159. Phone service available. Portal controls, a wireless mesh extender, even though you probably don't need that, network security, and more. So again, call their office. Find the best internet here in Oxford and Lafayette County. That's 662-238-3159. Somebody said, where does poker come in? I used to watch a ton of poker, but that has dwindled interest for me. I'm much less likely to stay locked in on punk poker now as I would have been younger. So it's fine. It would be ahead of bowling still, but that's kind of it. I never watch it. I never even see it on. Darts is incredibly impressive too.
Yeah.
The way they just kind of flick it looks like they're not like and just wherever it needs to go. It's pretty
like
impressive.
Ted Lasso.
It's very similar. Yeah. Yes. One of the better scenes in Ted Lasso.
It is.
Yeah, that's a top five
one that
kind of
hits you in the feels.
A little bit of everything. He took up four, beat the bully.
When does season three start?
I don't know.
Okay. I'm asking lots of questions. I apologize.
That was not on my pre-show research list. Ted Lasso season three. Everything we know so far about Ted Lasso season three. Production will start in February 2022.
Okay.
So
next month.
Set to return summer 2022.
Oh, good.
Yes. Although the date has yet to be confirmed by Apple. Production starting on Valentine's Day, actually.
Okay.
It was originally a 3-season arc. This is the last season, right? Or do we know that for sure?
It was originally scheduled to be the last season. And
so
I think
it could extend because of the success.
I think it still will be, but there will be a clarion call to keep it going. A lot of people, even the bad episodes, a lot of people get a lot out of them.
The executive producer says, Ted Lasso is a 3-season show. After the third season, I will desperately try to get Mr. Sudeikis to do the only way I think a fourth season of Ted Lasso exists would be if T.L. went and coached a soccer team that played about a block from Jason's house in real life, if you know what I mean. He's got young kids.
Yeah.
So they think that he will wrap it up after. Cast members do not know much at all about this season. Although, you know, it has to go. I mean,
if you want it to wrap up neatly, there's
a real easy way to do that.
Yeah, I mean.
I mean, just – and give that to people.
Yes, that's what I want.
Don't be critical here.
Put it right here. Just put
Don't be cute. No. Don't try to be the critical masterpiece where you
– No, we've all gotten invested in the characters.
We don't need Ted overdosing or something. No, just give us what we need.
I think we all – this is one of those shows where you want to see all the characters be okay. Because if you're going to take it away, most people want to know that everybody's all right. Because it's a feel-good show. Whether they want it to be or not, it is. It is a feel-good show.
When it came out, what it is, the whole deal.
The Office couldn't end with Jim and Pam getting a divorce. Or with Pam dying in a car accident. It just couldn't. And so you don't. Don't be too artsy. Just mainstream it.
You know what we want. Give it to us.
Everyone's coming to get a cheeseburger. Give them a cheeseburger. This is not the time to break out the pork tenderloin. No. Cheeseburger.
And just a good cheeseburger.
Yeah.
Not peanut butter and egg and all that stuff.
No. A cheeseburger.
You can put some bacon on it.
Yep. Sure. That's what people want.
I think they'll do it. I have faith, I think.
I think so, too.
Yes, the beard episode is horrific, but...
yeah, the two that...
It was an add-on.
It was bad.
It was an add-on. But the Christmas was an add-on, and it was good. It was fine. There was nothing wrong with the Christmas episode.
No, it was good. It was fine.
Yeah. It was originally supposed to be either a, what was it, 12, I guess a 10 episode season, and they added two to it, and those were the two that they added to it. So.
But it's been good enough that I'm willing to...
That's true. The Office did almost have the storyline where Jim cheats on Pam.
Yeah. A little bit.
Yeah. Got it.
She was horrible for a while. I mean, she was. He went to Philly to...
He wasn't great either.
He was pretty good.
Didn't he buy a house without even telling her? Am I wrong there?
He did. He bought a house without telling her.
Seems like a big purchase. Just saying.
Yeah, I mean...
Just...
I once bought a house without Laura seeing it, but she told me to do it.
And then, oh, really?
And then the first night we moved into it, she cried. She hated it so much.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's not a good night.
As I said, probably ought to fill them in on those purchases. So
but it wasn't my fault.
You were told to do it.
I was told to do it. It was. In fact, I had said, this is probably not what we should do. But she ended up loving it. We still have friends from that street that are friends with us.
Oh, it's that house?
Today, yep.
So it ended up being okay.
It was great, yeah.
Okay. You mentioned that lead-in on Saturday. Again, the Saturday games, Bengals at Titans at 3:30 and Niners-Packers at 7:15. That is your Saturday.
That Bengals-Titans game has a chance to be awesome.
I still would take the Sunday games if I had to pick one or the other. Yeah. But
luckily, you get to watch them all.
I do. I get to see every dang one of them.
Niners-Packers. The Niners are... You know, Green Bay has a tendency to freak out in the playoffs. They've had some moments going back to the Giants losses, you know, two of those. I mean, didn't both of Eli's Super Bowl runs go through Green Bay?
I remember one really well, but I don't recall
the other
one. The
super cold game where they beat Brett Favre went through Green Bay, and I think they beat them in a divisional playoff game.
Did they?
Yeah.
I don't know. That year I was so occupied with the 49ers beating the Saints and – I guess at that point, maybe even old Candlestick, maybe the new part, the new stadium, but a bad day. Bad day.
Yeah.
Vernon Davis still hates you.
Candlestick's gone now. It's condos.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know when they tore that down.
Between 2015 and 2018, because when I went out there in 2015 to run, it was still up. Partially up. I guess they were in the process of demolishing it.
Tom Brady older than any of the coaches in the NFC playoffs remaining.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Other than, I guess, his own. But, yeah.
Grind wants to know our picks. We'll have picks up tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I mean, just fade the hell out of them, and you will be golden.
Unless you're taking Brian Rippey. He's cruising.
I mean.
I went 4-2 last week.
You did.
Campbell went 5-1. Butcher versus Spin Instructor comes up tomorrow. We taped it yesterday. How did they do so well against the spread and we're not?
Because they...
You want to hear their records? Have you followed this?
I knew they were good. Yeah.
See if I can find it. It's kind of depressing. Campbell is 98-76 against the spread.
There's a point of diminishing return, and I think we're so inundated with it that we get there.
And Greg's beating her by 8 games.
Yeah,
he's 106-68.
And that is one of the more remarkable turnarounds in betting history because I love you, Greg, but he was god awful last year and then went into this kind of run.
Incredible.
Yeah. I mean, he is the 91 twins. I mean, it's
what I told her yesterday. I said, 98-76 would win most competitions.
It would. And just out of it.
And you've
basically been eliminated.
She has been eliminated.
Yeah. Joseph says Rodgers 1-4 in championship games.
Yeah. Green Bay's got a funny playoff persona, kind of like Dallas does in a way. San Francisco's got nothing to lose. Just go play. He told me that game gets a little prickly for Green Bay, I'd buy it.
Mm-hmm.
And then the 2-game Sunday, sign me up.
Buckle in. Whew. Both those.
Those are great games.
Yeah.
Rams, Bucks has a chance to be. That's got a chance to be special. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how Buffalo, Kansas City isn't a great game.
Yeah. That's the one. If I just had to pick one, that's the one.
Yeah, I've told everyone in my house, look, 5:30, you want me to grill? I'll grill. Leave me, but I'm turning on the TV, I'm pouring something, and leave me alone, I'm going to watch the game. Unless you want to come watch the game, but don't come out to talk to me about, hey, what are we doing this week? No. I want to watch this game.
Okay.
It's got a chance to be really good, so I'm sure that's what time Jackson Dart will commit, right around about 5:40 on Sunday.
It will be the Christmas Day version of commitments, yes.
That's when you'd want to throw something at the TV, right? Like, right now, really? This couldn't wait. You couldn't have done this 3 hours ago or 3 hours from now. You have to do it now. Come on, my man. There should be a moratorium on commitments Sunday, period.
Yeah. As G says, Derrick Henry's back for the Titans.
He's back, but he's got a screw in his foot that they say will limit just how much he can do.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that Tennessee is going to have to be aware of usage. It's kind of like a player coming back and the doctors are like, look, he can play, but got about 22 minutes here. You can't go 40. And so you've got to figure out where to use him. They can't just feed Derrick Henry.
Like usual.
In the first half. Because what I read was if they do that, when it gets tight at halftime, he's not going to be very useful second half.
Okay. All right. We will have more later in the day. Maybe we'll have news. Maybe we won't. We'll see. Not predicting that anymore. Really never did begin with. But anyway, covered a lot of ground on today's show. Appreciate everybody in the stream. Everybody listening wherever you are. So I hope all of you have a wonderful day. We'll talk to you again soon. Take care.